vivo.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ramo, Hare Ramo, Ramo Ramo, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna.
Vivo, vivo.
Ramo, Hare Ramo, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ramo, Hare Ramo, Ramo Ramo, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare
Hribo, Hribo,
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ramo, Hare Ramo, Ramo Ramo, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ramo, Hare Ramo, Ramo Ramo, Hare Hare, Hare. Hare Ramo, Hare Ramo, Ramo Ramo, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, oh, Hare Hare, Hare Ramo, Hare Ramo, Ramo Ramo, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ramo, Hare Ramo, Ramo Ramo, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ramo, Hare Ramo, Ramo Ramo, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ramo, Hare Ramo, Ramo Ramo, Hare Hare, Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ramo, Hare Ramo, Ramo Ramo, Hare Hare. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ramo, Hare Ramo, Ramo Ramo, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna,
Vivo.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Rama Rama Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jana Balaba Didi Bhadatari Gopi Jana Balaba Didi Bhadatari Yasodanandana Prajajana Ranjana Yasodanandana Prajajana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Gopi Jana Ballabha Didi Bhadatari Gopi Jana Ballabha Didi Bhadatari Yasodanandana Prajajana Ranjana Yasodanandana Prajajana Ranjana Yasodanandana
Ramunatira Panachari Ramunatira Panachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Om Vishnu Pad Paramhamsa Pripadaja Gacharja Astho Tatasata Sri Srimad Esi Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Jayom Vishnu Pad Paramhamsa Pripadaja Gacharja Astho Tatasata Sri Srimad Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasati Thakur Prabhupada Ki Jai Ananti Koti Vaishnav Brinda Ki Jai Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Prem Sikoho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Sham Kund Radha Kund Giti Gopardhan Ki Jai Sri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Sri Navadvip Mayapur Dham Ki Jai Sri Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Jai Gangamayi Ki Jai Yamunamayi Ki Jai Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Samaveda Bhakta Brinda Ki Jai Sri Sri Radha Govinda Dev Ki Jai Gau Premanandi All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Maitreya Uvacha Mukti Kai Kusumasragbhir Dukulai Swaranathoranai Mahasura Bibirdupayar Manditam Tatra Tatravai Maitreya Uvacha Mokitai Kusumasragbhir Dukulai Swaranathoranai Mahasurabhibirdupayar Manditam Tatra Tatravai Maitreya Uvacha Moktikai kusumasragbhir. Dukulai swarnathoranai. Mahasurabhibhir dupaya. Manditam tatra tatra vai. Maitreya Uvacha. The great sage Maitreya continued to speak. Moktikai with pearls, kusum of flowers, sragbhi with garlands, dukulai cloth, swarna, gold, toranai, by gates, mahasurabhi, highly perfumed, dupayi, by incense, manditam, decorated, tatra tatra, here and there, Vayi, certainly. The great sage Maitreya told Vidura, when the king entered his city, it was very beautifully decorated to receive him with pearls, flower garlands, beautiful cloth, and golden gates. And the entire city was perfumed with highly fragrant incense. Something like Calcutta? Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Real opulence is supplied by natural gifts such as gold, silver, pearls, valuable stones, fresh flowers, trees, and silken cloth. Thus, the Vedic civilization recommends opulence and decoration with these natural gifts of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such opulence immediately changes the condition of the mind, and the entire atmosphere becomes spiritualized. King Prithu's capital was decorated with such highly opulent decorations.
Om Agyanti Midandasya Gyananjana Chalakaya Chakshuru Milidham Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sakrachataham Sahakana Raghunathan Bidham Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Padijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padahan Sahakana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vithamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patithanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Brinda
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare
Hare. The great sage Maitreya told Vidura, when the king entered his city, it was very beautifully decorated to receive him with pearls, flower garlands, beautiful cloth, and golden gates, and the entire city was performed with highly fragrant incense. Reading today from Srimad Bhagavatam, fourth chapter, chapter 21, entitled Instructions of Maharaj Prithu, text number 1. Herein, after Maharaj Prithu performs a yajna, he returns to his city. Maitreya Rishi is describing what the city looked like. And from the purport of Srila Prabhupada, we find that this verse of Srimad Bhagavatam is very relevant and very important. If we separate it from the whole purpose of the Srimad Bhagavatam, it sounds like just a physical description of what something looks like. Pearls, flowers, some gold, nice cloth, and incense. What is transcendental about that? Srila Prabhupada is always extracting the essence from every situation. This is why the purports of the great acharyas are so vital to really enter into the depths of the spirit of the scripture. Maharaj Prithu was an avatar of the Lord, and his purpose as king was not only to protect the citizens from exploitation, but to encourage them and elevate them to the purpose of human life, which is self-realization. The awakening of love for God. Therefore, he set up his kingdom in such a way to facilitate, to help to facilitate the awakening of one's God consciousness. And the citizens, out of their love and respect for him, they very much decorated the city according to Maharaj Prithu's vision, according to what pleased him. And Prabhupada explains that real opulence is supplied by natural gifts. You see, we are affected by the environment that we are around. And our ability to access spirituality, unless we're very advanced people, is affected by the physical environment around us. Prabhupada said that the brothel is in the mode of ignorance. The city is in the mode of passion. The forest is the mode of goodness. And the temple of the Lord is Vaikuntha. Now, Srimad Bhagavatam teaches us that in order to transcend the modes of nature, first we have to come to the mode of goodness, sattva-guna. Sattva-guna is like the springboard from which we can transcend the modes of nature. Trigunya-vishaya-veda-nistra-guna-bhavarjana nirdvanvo-nitya-sattva-shto-nir-yoga-kshema-atmadana. Krishna tells in the Gita that the Vedas mainly deal with these three modes of nature. But one must rise above them all. One must transcend them and be established in the self. Chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is the most highly purifying, pure transcendental activity, especially in this age of Kali. Kalera dosani de rajan astiheku mahanga kirtane dev eva krishnasya mukta sanga parambraje. This age of Kali is an ocean of faults, but there is one benediction. Simply chanting the holy names of the Lord, one can attain the perfection of liberation. What one could achieve in Satya Yuga through 60,000 years of focused, concentrated, one-pointed meditation, Treta Yuga, by the performance of elaborate sacrifices with precision, adherence to the rules, Dwapara Yuga, by excellently, without any aparads whatsoever, worshipping the deity, One can achieve that same perfection simply by chanting the holy names in the age of Kali. Such a powerful Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. It's the prime benediction for all humanity. So why on initiation we're given these four regulative principles? Why not just chant Hare Krishna? We could initiate so many more people if we did it like that. No illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, no meat eating. In and of themselves, these four regulative principles are not necessarily spiritual. Because factually, there are animals who are vegetarian. And there are atheists who are vegetarian. In fact, Hitler was a vegetarian. Sorry about that. There are demons who follow the four regulative principles. But these four regulative principles, in and of themselves, they help us to be stable in the mode of goodness. These qualities like humility, self-control, they're all in the mode of goodness. When you add the chanting of Hare Krishna, then you're on a platform where that chanting will have its maximum effect. When we offer humility to Krishna, then that humility becomes transcendentally pleasing to the Lord. But if you take the offering of Krishna away, self-control, humility, and all that other stuff, there's nothing transcendental about it. It's basically those qualities are the mode of goodness. So it is important that we, as far as possible, surround ourselves with the modes of nature that will induce us to go deeper into our sadhana and deeper into our devotion to Krishna. That is why we find in the olden days, in most of the great discourses, Maitreya and Vidura, they're not speaking in a crowded city. They're in the forest, near Haridwar, on the bank of the Ganga. Because Ganga Devi is so transcendentally pure, just being near her affects our minds to be much more receptive to hear the message of the Lord and to chant the names of the Lord. The Srimad Bhagavatam itself, Parikshit Maharaj wanted to hear about the truth. He went to the forest, to the bank of the Ganga, because that forest scene in the bank of the Ganga is just so conducive to be in the proper frame of mind to hear about Krishna. So we are very much affected. Every single element in this world is emitting vibrations. Because the interactions of molecules and chemicals and these various subtle invisible elements, they're all existing on the basis of energy. Everything is an energy of the Lord. This entire material existence is the energy of the Lord. Every molecular particle is an energy of the Lord. And everything is vibrating a particular energy. There is even a science today where everything has a particular frequency. People can tell something, whether it's a wall or whether it's your finger, it has a particular frequency that it's existing on. Some frequencies are higher and some frequencies are lower. So everything is giving a particular influence to the world. Now, in past times, because people live more naturally, they were much more subtly aware of all realities around them. But as we come away from a very, very natural, subtle, refined, sensitive lifestyle, we become very gross and crude in our perception. And we really can't tell what's happening around us. We really don't even understand. We're not aware of how things are affecting us. It's not that they're not affecting us. They are. We're just not sensitive enough to be able to feel how it is happening. Because that subtle natural sensitivity that is within every living being becomes deadened. So, in this way, these great sages, they would go to an environment where the energy was uplifting. The energy even of the physical objects was conducive to opening their hearts and making them receptive to Krishna, to knowledge. Things that are in the mode of goodness have that frequency, have that vibration to elevate and open our hearts. Things that are in the mode of ignorance have the opposite. They deaden us. They influence us toward lower desires. So because people today, and sometimes even devotees, have become so desensitized by this passionate, ignorant society, we don't feel a difference. But actually, it affects us. If we're surrounded by things made out of plastic, which is basically just exploitation of oil from the earth, and then various types of chemical processes to make it into plastic, that's giving out a vibration, a very artificial, unnatural vibration. And if you're surrounded by plastic things, it's going to affect your consciousness, whether you're aware of it or not, to be very artificial and unnatural. Now, what is Krishna consciousness? It's just the process of not being artificial and becoming natural. To love Krishna is natural. To forget Krishna is artificial for the soul. So we're already conditioned in this state. And it's so hard to bring it back to that. When we come to the temple, if the temple is very clean and the temple is made of very natural elements and is created with devotion, the temple is Vaikuntha. Krishna is here. Krishna makes it Vaikuntha. But we have to make everything else in the temple in such a way that we can be sensitive to actually appreciate that it's Vaikuntha, to really be appreciate and receptive to receive the mercy of the Lord. Cleanliness is the mode of goodness. In itself, it's not transcendental. It's the mode of goodness. Neglect and dirtiness, untidiness, depending on its degree, is either in the mode of passion or ignorance. So if you're in a dirty place, a temple where people just kind of throw things around and the walls are dirty and there's not that consciousness, that vibration of the consciousness of mode of goodness to keep things clean, creates an environment that affects us. It affects us with the mode of goodness so that when we hear Srimad Bhagavatam, when we chant the holy names, when we have darshan of the deities, we're in a better state of mind to actually reach the transcendental plane. It is said cleanliness is next to godliness. Prabhupada said with deity worship that the two things that he emphasized most were cleanliness and punctuality, more than decoration. Now, if the deity is transcendental, what difference does it make if it's clean? Because the cleanliness creates the environment which, first of all, pleases Krishna. When we're cleaning for the pleasure of Krishna, then cleaning is no longer in the mode of goodness. It's transcendental. But Krishna accepts things in the mode of goodness. Just like food. Food is a thing. If you eat food that is in the mode of ignorance, you become affected by it. The Prabhupada writes, if you eat food in the restaurants or the hotels, even if it tastes exactly the same as the same preparation offered to the deities in the temple or in the house of a Vaishnava, it may taste exactly the same. In fact, it may taste better. But there's a difference. And for somebody who's very, very subtly connected on the transcendental platform, they can feel the difference. When they eat something cooked by a person who's motivated by money and greed, whose consciousness is polluted due to not following the four regulative principles, even if that person is a master chef and can make delicacies that cause your tongue to celebrate, a regular devotee is just going to think, God, this tastes so much better than what I'm eating at home, or so much better than the temple, whatever. Why do we think like that? Because our consciousness is deadened due to so much unnatural life and unnatural thinking and neglect. A person who's really sensitive can feel it. They eat something cooked with love and devotion by a devotee and they feel thrilled, they feel elevated, they feel uplifted by that, by the vibration. And something cooked not with a devotional intent, a person can feel it, can feel their subtle mind and the subtle element of their body, they can feel it being affected, being dragged down
being polluted. Now, whether you feel it or not, that is factually what's happening. We're being dragged down by that. Hearing a bhajan sung by a devotee who believes in the Supreme Personality of Godhead may not be as musically sweet as a person who's singing the same bhajan who doesn't believe in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who doesn't believe in the path of devotion, may even think, I will become God. It may sound nicer, but its effect, the vibration is affecting you. If you're hearing a bhajan by someone who wants to become God, it's awakening in your consciousness the desire to want to become God. And it's deadening your sense of unconditional devotion. Now, we do not necessarily feel awareness of what's happening, but it's happening. Everything affects us. So if we're in a place like a big city, why? So many babajis and sadhus, they will not come to the cities because cities are in the modes of passion and ignorance. They want to stay in Vrindavan or Sri Navadvip Dham or a holy place or go to the Himalayas and live in the forest. In one sense, they are correct because the city is going to affect you and the country is very conducive. We come to the cities for the purpose of trying to help to deliver the people in the cities. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur came to Calcutta. He was living in Sri Mayapur Dham, the Yoga Peeth, Lord Chaitanya's birthplace, the Chaitanya Mat, the place where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would dance, Sri Vasangam. These were all his temples. What more auspicious holy place in the universe is there? And he was there. And he left there to come to Calcutta. Why? For the purpose of helping others, to show compassion to others. He was taking risk. But he built his mats. In fact, I think we have that mat now. I don't know if it's a secret or not or whatever, but I won't say anything until I confirmed. He made it into a temple, like a spiritual embassy, like an embassy of Goloka Vrindavan in the middle of the material world, like an oasis in the middle of a desert. And it was absolutely kept perfectly clean. All very natural materials, whatever they can afford and provide. They put the deity. And that way, the devotees, they would come back to an environment that was totally conducive to their spiritual awakening. So here we find Maharaj Prithu, because he was a government man who was in charge, he made the whole city like that. If there was actually God-conscious rulers, what we read is the city of Prithu Maharaj is the way the cities would be in the world today. There would be art and the utilizations of natural resources put together in a devotional way that uplifts our consciousness. That just makes it so much more accommodating for us to to benefit from Harikatha, Harikirtan, Vaishnava association, and the darshan of the Lord. Makes a big difference. Yes, it pollutes the ecology when we take prasad with plastic cups and plastic plates. Because what happens with that plastic? In one sense, it doesn't just go into the earth and become earth again. For a long, long time, it's just a polluting agent. There's nothing you can do with it. If you take a clay cup, yes, clay cup, you drink it. You drink some water from it. Put it in the earth, it goes back into the earth. Ecologically, it's absolutely harmonious. But in terms of consciousness, it has even a more prominent effect on the ecology of our mind. Because we're connecting with that vibration. Plastic makes you plastic. Natural things make you natural. In the 1960s, I don't know what it's like now in America, and I don't know what it is here, because sometimes here people are doing the same things that was done in the 1960s in America, at least the college students. But if somebody was really artificial and fake, they were just fake people, just putting on a show, they weren't real, we would call them plastic people. Remember that? Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj? We would say plastic people. He's a plastic. She's plastic. That doesn't mean they're made out of plastic. That means their consciousness is made out of plastic. But the fact is, plastic is a very, very artificial, ecologically unfriendly thing. And the more we associate with the vibration, with the frequency that's coming out of plastic, the more we are going to become artificial, fake devotees. We're trying to become natural. To love Krishna is our original nature. So we want to utilize and associate with and connect with those things that are actually favorable for becoming natural. Paper, things like that, mode of goodness. The temple is transcendental, but in order to really make it transcendental from a perspective that we can perceive it, we try to utilize materials as far as possible that are in the mode of goodness. We see the old temples in South India and Vrindavan. They're made of stone. And they had carvers making beautiful, beautiful designs. And all those designs were according to scriptural, artistic, architectural rules to elevate the consciousness. Not only the pictures of Krishna, but even the way flowers are made and the way designs are made. Those certain architectural, artistic designing principles that are in the scripture to elevate the consciousness. When Rupa Goswami built Radha Govindaji Temple and his followers, Govindaji, Rupa Goswami found, was revealed to him on the Gomatil in Sri Vrindavan. But when he had the resources, built a temple that was just pure, natural red sandstone. The architectural design of it was perfectly according to the Shastras, to bring one to the mode of goodness and then ultimately to bring that to the transcendental plane. And the offerings to the deities, things that are in the mode of goodness. So this is very, very important. Maharaj Prithu created his city with all these natural gifts to create a natural environment that was powerfully conducive to help people to come back to their natural Krishna conscious state. So this is very important. Again, we talk about cleanliness. If things are dirty all around you, and you come to a Srimad Bhagavatam class in a dirty place, or you're chanting your japa in a dirty place, you may not be aware. But that dirtiness is, unless you're very, very transcendentally strong, where you're just not at all affected by your environment, like Haridas Thakur. But he was always in natural places too. He usually was on caves in the banks of the Ganga, in Fuliagram and Benapole, he was in the forest. Even Haridas Thakur, Maya herself couldn't affect him. But still, he was in natural places. He had Tulsi. Wherever he set up his bhajan kutir, he put Tulsi there. Because just having Tulsi present is giving a vibration, such a divine, spiritually natural vibration, that it helps you to chant the holy names attentively. It helps to open your heart to receive the mercy of the Lord. So if things are dirty around us, it's factually a distraction. Cleanliness helps us focus. Natural things may help us to focus. So Prabhupada is explaining what real opulence is. And this opulence is both materially and spiritually. Materially, we're speaking about what elevates us to the mode of goodness and what is beneficial to ourselves, to the ecology, to the environment. That's real opulence. The opulence of Vrindavan are the trees, the cows. Yes, such opulence. During the Hara Panchami, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to hear the glories of Vrindavan from Swarup Damodar Goswami. So he induced Srivas Thakur to assume his mood of Narada Muni, to stir up controversy for the purpose of a higher revelation. So Srivas said, Vaikuntha, where everything is jewels and gold and the goddess of fortune, and he's talking all about the magnificence, and it's all natural. It's all natural. He's talking about the gold and the jewels and the stones, the beauty of Lakshmi, Vaikuntha, and the palaces. And he said, what is Vrindavan? There's some cows and some peacocks and some sticks and stones and some leaves and flowers and this little seed called Gunja, that's all. And Lord Chaitanya asked Swarup Damodar, what is your understanding? And he was explaining every tree is Kalpavriksha, desire tree. Fulfills all your desires. Every speck of dust is Chintamani. Every speck of dust in Vrindavan is more valuable than all the jewels and the gold and the silver in all the Vaikuntha planets. And all the cows are Surabhi, they give unlimited milk. So Vrindavan is such a natural place. That is the opulence of Vrindavan, its simplicity. The opulence of Vaikuntha is also pure. It's absolutely pure. Because everything's natural, transcendental ingredients. But Vrindavan's opulence is even higher. Because everything there induces us to that sweeter, deeper feeling of love for Krishna. How we dress. If we dress simple, with natural things, I remember in the olden days when I was a brahmachari, just to save money, they go to New York and go to this discount house and get a big roll of cloth, polyester, because it was just so cheap. And then they just cut it into pieces and give it all to the brahmacharis. So we all wore polyester dhotis and polyester everything. Do you know what polyester is? It's plastic. It's just plastic clothes. It's made into cloth. But it affects us. Affects our health. Affects our consciousness. I don't think they do that anymore. When you go to Vrindavan or someplace, it's natural cotton, natural silk. So if we wear natural, simple things, it actually helps our natural, simple consciousness. Lord Chaitanya told Raghunath Das Goswami, one of the duties of us, of one in the renounced order of life, the duty of every real devotee who wants to really make spiritual advancement is, don't speak gossip. Don't hear gossip. Dress simple. Eat in a way that's conducive to your health. If you eat too luxuriously, then your mind becomes very much disturbed and attached, and your tongue becomes aggravated. If you eat simple foods, it makes you simple. So this actually is a very important part of our spiritual lives. Maharaj Prithu, he created his whole city in such a way that it was pleasing to Krishna. He's in the mode of goodness, pleasing to Krishna. And Prabhupada, what he writes, real opulence is supplied by natural gifts such as gold, silver, pearls, valuable stones, fresh flowers, trees, and silken cloth. Now for Krishna, a flower is so opulent. It may not last as long as a diamond, but it's more beautiful than a diamond, is it not? A beautiful flower. Diamonds don't have fragrance. Flower has fragrance. No doubt, diamonds are natural beauty. And Krishna is very pleased if it's offered with devotion. But you don't have to be wealthy to afford a flower. And its naturalness is real opulence. Thus, the Vedic civilization recommends opulence and decoration with these natural gifts of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such opulence immediately changes the condition of the mind, and the entire atmosphere becomes spiritualized. King Prithu's capital was decorated with such highly opulent decorations. So, to get to the conclusion of what we'd like to speak today, is in the cities, Prabhupada built beautiful, opulent temples. In Bombay, he built beautiful marble palace. In Vrindavan, he didn't have the funds to make it all marble and everything, but he tried, but just very, very beautiful place. As far as possible, with as natural possible ingredients as was affordable and practical at the time, to in order to create that environment that changes the condition of the mind. So it is actually very important for devotees to be aware of doing things in such a way that has a positive effect on ourselves and others. If we create beautiful temples, very clean temples, with as far as possible very natural materials, it will be conducive for the devotees and it will transform the hearts of the people who come. Because it will make them subtly more receptive to hear the message, to hear the name, and to receive the blessings of the deities. Being in the city, many of you are brahmacharis here in Calcutta, it's a very high risk to be in a city. Because there's so much passion and ignorance everywhere. But we're willing to take the risk because it pleases Krishna. Prabhupada wanted it. Prabhupada wanted us to reach the people of the world. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati came and brought his main disciples to the cities. Prabhupada started ISKCON in New York City, Lower East Side. Nothing but the modes of ignorance and passion. But that little storefront, 26 Second Avenue, according to his capacity, he kept it really clean. He kept the holy vibration of the holy name, the Hari Katha, worshipped his little deities, and he made it into the spiritual world. And people found shelter there. So we very much, when in a city, we need a very strong brahmachari ashram in order to be able to deal with all the passion and ignorance. We need good sadhana, good association, and as far as possible, according to what we have and what we can afford, we should try to create an environment that's very conducive. And I'm so very proud to see what's happening here in this temple in Calcutta. A couple years ago, when you came in that door, everything was dirty and dark and dilapidated. Do you remember the staircase and the ceiling and the walls and the floor? Now, devotees, you know, sometimes we just become so dull. We're so used to it. It just doesn't make any difference. Or we think, you know, this is good because it's so dirty and slimy and dilapidated, and it just shows that we're austere. actually what happens is you're coming to see the deities, and on your way up, you're being bombarded by these lower modes and these lower frequencies and vibrations. And by the time you come up to see the deity, you're affected. And conditioned souls, they come in, and the first thing they think is, you know, these people are really dirty. These people really don't care much about, you know, if this is God's house, it should be much better than this. Dulls their consciousness. But now we see, even in the middle of this city of Calcutta, you come in, there's natural stone, natural wood, everything so clean, beautiful, clean pictures of Krishna. And you're entering in, you're really coming out of the material world into the world that Prabhupada is describing here. And by the time you come up to see Krishna, your consciousness is being prepared. It's being affected. And the kitchen, and the pujari room, and the brahmachari ashram, you know, in the past, you can't blame anybody because, you know, that's the way it was. It's been for decades, and there wasn't much money or anything, so all the devotees here were doing the best they could with what they had. But certainly we should try to make things the best we possibly can. And it was, now, you know, you go in the kitchen. If it's a beautiful clay kitchen with little clay stoves, that's absolutely conducive. But if it's all just dirty stuff in the city, dilapidated stuff in the city, it's not a very good consciousness to cook in. So as far as possible, they made the kitchen into a beautiful place with all natural things and the mode of goodness. And the pujari room too. And the temple room is always improving. So please, we should not think that these types of improvements are just cosmetic. They shouldn't be just cosmetic. They're a very integral and very important part of an overall transformation of consciousness that we're trying to create. Because in Krishna's temple, we want to offer Krishna the best we possibly can. And the best means what Krishna likes. And how do we know what Krishna likes? Because Prabhupada tells us what Krishna likes. Otherwise, we can't speculate. And Prabhupada is telling us right here, and he tells us again and again in his purports, and it's right there in the translations of Srimad Bhagavatam and other scriptures. Krishna likes natural, wholesome things offered with natural, wholesome devotion. And as far as possible, we want to use those things and create that environment. So I want to congratulate all of you here in Calcutta that it's a small cost. This is Prabhupada's birthplace. Calcutta factually is the only major city in Bengal. Yes? Major city that attracts international attention. And Bengal is the place of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. It was here that Lord Chaitanya was born and Lord Nityananda was born. Practically every single one of the associates besides Gopal Bhatta Goswami and a few in South India were born in either born and raised in either Bengal or Orissa. This is our homeland. This is our holy place. It's very important. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Srila Prabhupada, they're all from this area. Bengal, Orissa. So Calcutta is such an important place. And to have Prabhupada's temple in Calcutta, to be as much as possible what Prabhupada writes he would like it to be. After all these years, to spend some extra money to do that for Prabhupada is a beautiful gesture. It's not a waste. Someone may challenge, why spend so much money on all this? It was all right the way it was. Or you can just get some plastic paint and put it over it and it'll look clean. This is a very important place. And if you spend in a way that's natural, and if you spend in a way that's pleasing to Prabhupada and Krishna, without wasting, Prabhupada's pleased, Krishna's pleased, they can provide everything and anything. And people will become inspired. It's an investment. You do something wonderful, people become inspired. In all the world, which temple gets the most donations? Radharaspihari Temple. One of the reasons they get the most donations is because they spent the most with the best materials for their temple. They're inspiring people to come and give. Yes. And Prabhupada personally oversaw that temple. He's the one that chose all the materials in the original building of it, because he knew. So we should never waste. But if we do things according to the quality that pleases Prabhupada and offer Krishna the opulence that he likes, the ultimate opulence is devotion. Prabhupada said, even if you put plastic jewelry on Krishna with devotion, it becomes diamonds and rubies and all of those other things. But Prabhupada had his reasons. First of all, devotion is all important. But as far as possible, we should understand Prithu Maharaj's vision. To elevate the people's consciousness is to create an environment that's uplifting. And how we deal with each other is the same thing. Subtle things. Everything affects us. Everything affects us far more than we think. The way we talk to each other, what we speak to each other. You can speak gossip to someone and walk away and think, well, you know, I'm still a devotee. It hasn't affected me. If you're actually becoming advanced, if you speak gossip or hear it, you feel contaminated. That's the nature of a person who's really making advancement. If you're really dull, then you can speak gossip or hear it and just feel, you know, let's go to kirtan. No problem. You don't feel contaminated. You don't feel something's been lost. Prabhupada said, when you speak prajalpa, your enthusiasm to serve is just draining out of your mouth. You're losing it all. Now, Prabhupada says it. Do we feel it? No, we speak prajalpa and we feel enlivened by it. But the fact is, we're losing our bhakti. So these subtle principles are very, very important. They very deeply, powerfully affect us, whether we know it or not. When we're kind to each other, when we're respectful to each other, when we speak about Krishna conscious subject matters, and we share those vibrations with each other, when we forgive each other, it's creating an environment that's very, very uplifting, individually and collectively. But if we're holding grudges, or we're gossiping behind people's backs, we're polluting the entire environment, and especially polluting our own minds. Vaishnavism is the subtlest thing in Brahma's creation. It's so subtle. It's subtler than the body, subtler than the mind, subtler than the intelligence, subtler than the ego. It's so subtle that it directly connects to the Atma, the soul. It's subtle. And therefore we find in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam and the pages of Chaitanya Charitamrita the qualities of the Vaishnavas and how they dealt with each other and how it was very, very refined. Very subtly invigorating. In that Journey Home book that I wrote, there was one story which really awakened me to some extent to what Vaishnavas really are. There were some wonderful Vaishnavas from Bangladesh that came to Vrindavan on a pilgrimage. He was a principal of a school. They were all family people, but very devoted, extremely devoted, very refined. They were not wealthy by any means, but they were very refined people. And there was another American visiting this ashram I was at, and he had a camera. And these Bangladeshi Vaishnavas, they asked him, can you take a photo of us, a group photo? Now, it was for him, it wasn't for them. Because, you know, in those days, there wasn't all these where you just take a photo and then you show them right away what it looks like. You know, he was going to leave. They were going to Bangladesh. They weren't exchanging addresses and saying, when you develop it, please send it to us. No. They just, for that he could remember them. That's all. They got nothing out of it except it was like, for them it was like they were serving him. Take a group photo so you could remember us. So they stood and he whispered in my ear, he said, I only have one more shot on my film. And I want to take it of something else. I already have a plan. I
no more film. And in those days, Vrindavan, you could not buy film in Vrindavan. So what to do? So we decided, we'll pretend to take a photo of him. And he took his camera and focused it, and then he went, and it's, to me, it sounded really authentic. So that was that. Nobody said anything. The next day, I see the leader standing with tears in his eyes. He looked really, really disturbed. And I asked one of his associates, what happened? Why is he looking like this? He said, because you... What was the word they used? Because you treated us so duplicitously. So much duplicitousness. You pretended to take a photo of us. Why didn't you either tell us you're not going to take a photo or take a real photo, but why you pretended? You treated us so cheaply. And I went up to him and offered my obeisances, and he just walked away. He offered his obeisances back, but just walked away, wouldn't even talk to me. And I could understand, we really hurt this person's heart bad. And the next day I came back to him and I apologized. He was crying. He said, I feel so bad for you. I'm so disappointed with you. Because I thought you were a Vaishnav. But no Vaishnav will ever treat another Vaishnav, what to speak of any living entity, so cheaply and so duplicitously as that. That is not what a Vaishnav does. I loved you, I respected you, and I really thought you were a Vaishnav, but you totally disappointed me. This is not the way a Vaishnav acts. He says, I'm crying because I feel so bad for you. Then he walked away. Now for an American, for some, you know, the way Americans treat each other and the way they talk to each other, that was not even something you'd think about. But I realized he is 100% right. It was one of the greatest lessons of my life. These subtle ways that we deal with each other have a very powerful effect on our subconsciousness and our spiritual consciousness. If we're just so out of touch, we don't notice the effect it has. But if we're in touch, we notice. Prajalpa has a massive effect. If you're a little advanced, you'll recognize it. If you're not, you'll just think, so what? Mistreating someone, being duplicitous with another Vaishnav. Sometimes devotees, in order to make money or something, you know, they tell non-devotee people all kinds of untrue things. Yes, you remember those days? It may be to engage them in some service. But what I saw, one of the major problems with that is, we can become so accustomed to that we start treating devotees like that. Just to get our way, we'll say anything. And we'll think it's all right. But the fact is, it's polluting us. We're being duplicitous with another devotee.
Duplicitous, this means cheating. And just in just common words, just in the daily things, we may say things and we think nothing of it because we're dull. But actually it's affecting us, it's affecting them, it's affecting the whole environment. So what Prabhupada's purport is dealing with goes much deeper than just what materials you build your temples or houses with. It's our whole consciousness of being aware of trying to be pure, humble, and straightforward and Krishna conscious. Even in our most ordinary everyday dealings with each other. And if we're aware like that, it creates such a powerful spiritual energy. And if we're not, if Vaishnavas are not dealing with each other in a very honest and sensitive way, in a Vaishnav way, no matter what projects we do, we're going to be disempowered. And in the end, it could make us all fall down because it accumulates. Krishna consciousness, nothing should be done cheaply, either in our words or in our actions or in the facilities we utilize. Things should be done carefully, consciously. Krishna consciousness means to be very conscious. Conscious of the big things, conscious of the little things, conscious on a very subtle level also. It's a very common thing. We say things, we do things that really can disturb another people's mind. And we don't even know it. Yes? It's like that story with Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, where the devotees went to a place where there was never a temple, never a Vaishnav, no preaching. They went to this place on his order. And they preached and they preached and they preached and they developed a whole congregation. They developed a brahmachari ashram. They built a beautiful temple. They got deities. They invited Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur to install the deities. There was all these people waiting for him at the railway station. Beautiful kirtan, big feast, beautiful temple all decorated. Everything was there. But the day before, one brahmachari was talking to a lady in an inappropriate way. He was wrong. So one of the senior brahmacharis chastised him very heavy. Just went about his business. He deserved it. He was wrong. So he chastised him. You have to correct him. But the way he corrected him. The man needed to be corrected. But the way he corrected him was very harsh, probably because the leader was so busy trying to get things together and all the management and Gurudev's coming, and he just shouted at the boy. The boy's heart was so totally broken that he left Krishna consciousness. He left the math. He left everything. And nobody even realized. Nobody even knew he was gone. When they did realize he was gone, they didn't really understand that it was their mistake, till Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati came, looked around, everybody's chanting and smiling and showing him all the wonderful accomplishments. He said, "Where is this brahmachari?" They told him what happened. He said, "All this doesn't mean as much to me as that brahmachari. I won't accept any of this that you've done unless you bring him back."
then the devotees realized what Krishna consciousness actually is. They realized the way they spoke to him, they didn't even notice that they did anything wrong, but the way they spoke to him, instead of correcting him in a more compassionate way, they corrected him in a more passionate way. Without that sensitivity. And they didn't realize how it affected that person's life. And they didn't realize how it affected their Guru Maharaj's heart. They went searching everywhere for him. Where could he be? He left. He didn't leave a note. One person once saw that a brahmachari, his watch broke, so this person fixed it. So he said, he knows how to fix watches, and he's a brahmachari. That means he has nothing, so if he left, he has to get a job. Maybe he's working in a watch repair shop somewhere. So they went to every watch repair shop in the city, and they were asking the people, did you see this person? And one person said, well, I think maybe he's in the back room. Maybe that's him. And they went back, and there he was, fixing watches. And the devotees, like, apologized to him and told him how Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur spoke. And that person was crying. He said, I didn't want to leave. But I felt so bad, and I felt so unqualified to be there that I had to leave. But in my heart, I'm just longing to come back. He would have never come back unless they come and brought him, because he felt that nobody wanted him. Nobody else felt that way. But he felt that way. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur did not say, well, he's in Maya. He shouldn't feel that way. It's not true. He said, no, you have mistreated him. And I don't care anything about this deity installation unless you bring him back. That's Vaishnava. That's what Prabhupada's talking about in this purport. To have a subtle sensitivity in every aspect of our life. In the things we use, in the things we say, in the things we do, and in our overall consciousness, to please Krishna. Plastic is expedient, and it's cheaper too. It's much easier to transport a pile of plastic cups that all fit in each other for 4,000 people in a yatra than it is 4,000 clay cups. Yes? Much easier, much cheaper too. But Krishna consciousness is not about being cheap. Krishna consciousness is about having the quality and making quality choices that are in harmony with our siddhanta and uplift our consciousness. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Questions? It's so late. Okay, well, just one or two questions. Radhe Shyam Prabhu. I'm
always fearful when Radhesham Prabhu raises his hand.
Maharaj, I heard this pastime of Bhaktisan Saraswati once when you spoke in Pune, when you had come to Pune also. So I had a question regarding this. I very carefully read through the pastime of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chastising Chota Haridas. In my little understanding of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's personality, all through his pastimes, his personification of tenderness and softness in dealing with devotees. But he comes like a thunderbolt with anyone else, with other Sahajayism or Mayavadism and all that. But in this particular pastime of Chota Haridas, I found Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu coming down like a thunderbolt, And not only that, when Chota Haridas committed suicide, he said he did well. That's very good, he said. Even after that, he didn't even regret. Say that, alas, he left his body. He didn't feel like that. So I read an article which was talking about what Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati commented about that, about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's attitude in this. So he says that illicit sex is such a thing. Illicit sex is such a thing that even although Chota Haridas was not actually faulty, still Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came down upon him in such a heavy way to set an example for all his followers in the time to come. So amongst all the activities that one can do in the aspect of loss of character, I considered this as the topmost, illicit sex or having illicit connections. While Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is dealing with this situation so strongly, and you were telling about this Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's pastime of Brahmachari dealing with a woman in an improper way, showing mercy, these two, how can I reconcile these two things?
That's why I'm afraid when you raise your hand. This is a very deep subject. And we have to see it from the whole picture. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave Chota Haridas his original spiritual body and allowed him to come and sing for Lord Chaitanya. So was he really harsh on Chota Haridas? I mean, if he condemned him to go to hell, that would be harsh. He set the principle, but then Chota Haridas, in his spiritual body, not in a Buddha body, he wasn't a ghost, he wasn't a Buddha, he wasn't a Rakshasa, he didn't go to hell. He got an original spiritual pure body. And in that pure body, he would come and sing for Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya would accept it. Now the question is, can we chastise a person and do that for them? We could burn a person out, but can we elevate a person to the spiritual world by doing that? That was Lord Chaitanya's power. He wanted to set a standard. But at the same time, Lord Chaitanya was acting through his devotees too. Swarup Damodar Goswami, Nityananda Prabhu, even Paramananda Puri, these are all elevated Paramhamsas who are empowered by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They were totally sympathetic with Chota Haridas and begging Lord Chaitanya, please, be lenient with him. Please, please, please. Yes? So were they in Maya? Were they in illusion? No. They were every bit Krishna conscious as Lord Chaitanya was. They're Nitya Siddhas. Paramananda Puri is Uddhava, Krishna's best friend. Nityananda's Balaram.
Swarup Damodar is Lalita Sakhi, the most intimate. Lalita Sakhi in the spiritual world is Radharani's guru. So they're begging Lord Chaitanya, please be kind to Chota Haridas. Through them he was speaking one way, and through his own words he was speaking another way. He wanted to establish that principle. And there's a story of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur that I heard from Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Maharaj. In Madras, there was a brahmachari who also had some misconduct like that. And it was told to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said, you have to leave the mat, you cannot live here any longer. And the boy really wanted, the boy was repentant and wanted to come back. He said, no, you cannot come back. And then he went to the temple, and then he called the temple president, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. He said, you should treat this person very kindly and welcome him back. And the president said, if you're saying he can't come back, and I'm your representative, how can I tell him to come back? He said, as the acharya, I have to set the principle. But as my representative, you have to be kind and compassionate and give him another chance. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said, like Chota Haridas. The devotees were very merciful, but Lord Chaitanya, his mercy was very strong. But it was Lord Chaitanya's desire that the devotees be very merciful. And look at Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada wrote that, and then one sannyasi committed suicide because of that purport. And Prabhupada was at that time translating the eighth canto. And then he wrote another purport about Gajendra. He said, even if you're sannyasi and you fall down, then become a grihastha. But don't give up the fight against Maya. And practically speaking, there were sannyasis who had major fall downs, but if they were repentant, Prabhupada kept them in their positions, did not humiliate them, did not disgrace them, chastised them personally, and told them, go on with your service and carry on. I don't want to mention names, but there were several. And another sannyasi that had difficulty, one other sannyasi saw that and chastised him and spoke what happened to others. Prabhupada was more angry with the sannyasi who told others about it than he was with the sannyasi that fell down. Why? He said, because you've ruined this person's reputation, he'll never be able to come back. And Prabhupada was calling for that person. And finally, a couple years later, the person comes back with his wife and child. And Prabhupada embraced him and gave gifts for this person to give to his wife and child. So Prabhupada was strict like a thunderbolt, but he was also soft like a rose. Prabhupada was the most strict, but he was also very soft. And Prabhupada knew how to balance the two. If we know how to be strict, but we don't know how to be soft also, then we're not following Lord Chaitanya or Prabhupada. Lord Chaitanya was very strict with Sota Haridas, but also very soft. He was strict, but very compassionate. Through his devotees, gave him so much encouragement and ultimately brought him to the spiritual perfection. Prabhupada writes, if you do this, this is the proper atonement. That's the principle, to make us serious. But then he tells us, don't do it. That's how serious it is. But if it does happen, don't do that. Do this instead. Carry on the fight against Maya. Does that answer your question? So we have to understand the big picture. If we just take one part of the picture without understanding the whole spirit of the whole thing, it could be extremely dangerous.
Thank you, Maharaj, for a very comprehensive understanding you gave of this particular point. And
Prabhupada wanted to establish principles, but how he dealt with people. If he saw that a person was really duplicitous in everything, it was one thing. But if a person was, you know, just overcome by Maya, Prabhupada would be heavy enough to give the impression of what the importance of it. Otherwise, if we compromise the principle, then nobody will make proper spiritual advancement. Prabhupada was very strict with the principle. In his classes, Prabhupada was very, very uncompromising. But in dealing with people who were having difficulties, Prabhupada was extremely compassionate.
Yes, ma'am.
Sometimes his compassion was taking a hard line, sometimes his compassion was just embracing them.
Anyone having difficulty will certainly draw the sympathy of any other devotee.
And he did what worked for elevating that person and for protecting the Dharma of the society. Yes?
I was hearing sannyasi changing his clothes and getting married. Anybody would feel sympathy for such a person. Only thing is, when a person is in the hypocritical zone, you know, hypocritical behavior. Like I was reading in Second Chance, Prabhupada says that if one wants to enjoy married life, then one should marry, have a wife, children, family, and everything. Or one doesn't want to, you know, have the worldly encumbrances, then one can remain a brahmachari. But if somebody says, I want to be a brahmachari, but he wants to have illicit connection with a woman, he's a rascal, Prabhupada writes. So I often find myself having a lot of difficulty with hypocritical people. One who has a hypocritical behavior. One who says, I want to be brahmachari, but he wants to be illicitly connected through phone to a woman. He's afraid of taking responsibility for, you know, marriage and maintaining a woman, giving a, you know, home facility. But he wants to be a brahmachari. So whenever it comes to hypocritical, I suddenly lose control of myself. And many devotees, as you rightly in the beginning, you know, when I ask question, I really lose control of myself many times. It's because of this. And I felt, actually even Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was against hypocrisy. Even Gaurakrishna's Babaji was against hypocrisy. You know, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was also against hypocrisy. I thought all the acharyas are against hypocrisy. And they would never give shelter to someone who is hypocritical in the name of sympathy.
Well, we have to understand what hypocrisy means. Hypocrisy is when a person doesn't even have an intention to change his ways. A person just carries on doing things against the principles. but at the same time wants to maintain the artificial status.
But Prabhupada with brahmacharis and grihasth and sannyasi sometimes, even if they had difficulty, if they sincerely and earnestly wanted to correct themselves and were really trying to do so, even if they were having problems, Prabhupada would often encourage them to do that. If you have problem, that's not hypocrisy. The hypocrisy is you intentionally keep doing it and you're not really trying to give it up. That's hypocrisy. You want to make a show of it. But if a person's really feeling deeply remorseful and really wants to correct themselves and they want another chance because they really want to they want to surrender everything in the renounced order, but they made a mistake, it's for the guru and the leaders to decide what's best for the person. But that's not hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is making a show. In hypocrisy, there's no sincere remorse. There's no sincere will to atone and improve. Hypocrisy means we want the respect, we want the power, we want the position, but we're not willing to pay the price. Does that answer your question? So a person falling down is not necessarily hypocritical. But a person who doesn't have the remorse and isn't really trying to take shelter and improve himself and wants to just superficially stay in that position, that's hypocrisy. Nothing else? Really? Amazing. Thank you. This is the age of quarrel and hypocrisy. That brahmachari who had that problem ended up a sannyasi for the rest of his life. He later took sannyas. For the rest of his life, he was a very good sannyasi. So, you know, the ashram could have said, well, you slipped up, you have to get married. But he was remorseful. He was remorseful and he really wanted to correct himself. He really earnestly wanted to do the right thing. And therefore Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati and his leaders encouraged him. Give him a chance. He's sincere. But if we keep doing things again and again and again, a person may be remorseful and a person may really be trying, but if they keep making the mistake again and again, it's not necessarily hypocrisy, but it's just not good for the person to be in that position. Hypocrisy is based on, that's a very strong word, it's based on a very strong ego.
Krishna sees our intentions. If our intentions are strong and earnest and sincere, and we're actually able to do it, then giving another chance is reasonable. If a person's intentions are duplicitous, that's hypocrisy. If a person's intentions is remorseful and sincere and earnest, but they just can't do it, then in that case, rather than saying the person's a hypocrite, we should say that you need to change your ashram. You really desperately need to. Not because you're a hypocrite, because you just can't do it. As remorseful and as much as you're taking shelter. It's almost time for tomorrow's Srimad Bhagavatam class. Would you like to add a few words, Maharaj? Would you like to add any words? Wait.
Acharya speaks to the subject, and he points out that if you criticize, and don't criticize the criticizer, because if you, the criticizer, whose criticism, which is unjust, not for one's upliftment, he takes the pop of the criticized, and the criticized will take the punya of the criticizer. So it seems that this is like a very powerful definition of Vaishnava Aparad or Bhakta Aparad. Now, would you say in response to that, that actually the seva, the focus on seva, is the greatest form of insurance policy? Because we all have weaknesses. We all have shortcomings that may be there. That this seva focus is what can give us an insurance policy for spiritual progression.
Thank you. How can I serve you?
Allow me to hear more.
What Maharaj is saying is very important. It's the basis of everything is our service attitude. Hypocrisy means I want to be the enjoyer of a position. Service attitude is the essence of what Krishna accepts in everything we do. And a proper service attitude can compensate and restore us. It's the power of devotional service. It's done sincerely. Thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.